Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here we go. It is episode, I think, 51 of the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast, Tom. And first outdoor lift of the season for us both here at Platypus Heights.
Winter season 24.
Yeah, top of Hacksaw Ridge. And yeah, really
early
struck
jam.
Me. Yeah.
Early jam.
I tell you,
mid-jam.
Over the New Year period, I watched Touching the Void again. And I really had kind of flashbacks to that heading up. The steep
Everest,
slope here,
Everest,
yeah,
yeah,
to Hacksaw Ridge, and just seeing the frozen bodies of Amazon delivery drivers just strewn on your garden. It very much like, you know, towards the summit of Everest. If I know a lot of our readers have summited Everest, but you just have to get used to the fact you will see frozen bodies,
yeah,
just lying there by the
used with landmarks,
yeah, just by the side
green
of,
boots
of the path there, yeah, yeah. And nice to see Touching, you'd built your pagoda just around some of them.
Yeah.
But here we are. And as we record this, it's the 10th of January.
Is it?
You're well aware, actually, we've got a backlog of two episodes sitting in the can, so to speak. Which, so happy summer, everyone, whenever this episode's coming out. Now, I will get the other two out, actually, Tom. We'll get them edited this week.
Just before we left the main building. Well, my house. Mm. I checked with the weather.
The nerve centre.
It was 1 degrees outside, but the wind makes it feel like minus two.
Yeah, I can corroborate. That's what it feels like.
Lifting.
It was raining when I left the lowlands that I live in, and came up to these alpine regions here. It was clear, wasn't it? But that cloud. That I think we're now in it, aren't we?
We're normally above the clouds.
Yeah.
Normally, I never see any rain. We're actually above them.
Yeah, we can see aircraft landing at Manchester Airport in the distance, can't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Circling at 30,000 feet.
But it has misted over. It's bastard cold.
Yeah.
It's wet.
Yeah.
So this is going to be...
Bleak, classic bleak January day. So I can't think of a better thing to do than to try and defy gravity in what are honestly quite perilously slippery conditions.
They are very slippery. Yeah. Also, I think that... because, as you know, I built this platform that we're standing on here... Mm. I built it during the lockdown period, and I couldn't get my hands on marine ply.
Yeah.
So I ended up using standard internal plywood.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And gave it two coats of yacht varnish. And I fear that a few years outside, it's starting to perish. There's some areas here which are very soft underfoot.
Yeah, they're almost trampoline-esque, aren't they? There's every chance one of us could go through this morning, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on my list of things. need to spruce up.
Do you think it'll only be once we go through it, go to the top of the list?
Could be,
yeah.
It's a real council approach.
Very much like the potholes on the way here. As I say, so there's two episodes. I will get them edited and fired off so we can get this hopefully released as near to the calendar that we're in. I'll release the other two, and what we know, I'll describe it as a bumper release, maybe. A bit like how you describe if dearly departed Luciano Pavarotti had stopped off at Weatherby Whaler on their way up to do a gig, maybe for Tom Taylor up in York, and had the Weatherby Whale, large chips, curry sauce, mushy peas, and then followed it by
the next
pint of coffee. And he would release the Pavarotti, one bag, all done, bumper release.
The evolution.
So we'll get that done. But for the meantime, we are here up at Hacksaw Ridge, and we're about to lift heavy in the cold and the damp, it's got to be said. Yeah. Just quick checking on the chickens. How are the girls doing?
Chickens are fine. Egg laying's at a low point, of course. Winter months, they back off. Probably one, possibly one egg a day, I think, to be fair.
Between the three of them?
Between the three of them, yeah real low.
And so they're taking turns.
Seem to take in turns. I mean, you contrast that with summer, where we've had, oftentimes, more eggs per day than chickens.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing, isn't it?
So at the moment, obviously, it's at 0.33 eggs per day each.
Yeah.
In the summer, I'd say that coefficient can hit 1.2. I'm guessing.
Of course.
Now, by all means, enjoy the clubhouse, Rob.
Which I believe has suffered some storm damage.
Storm damage took out the right lower hinge. So when you open the door, the storm damage was so bad that what's the name for those clasps that you, like hooks that you hook a door back with? There's a name for them.
Oh, right, I don't know.
Like rasp and stuff.
Right, okay, yeah.
I don't know, but anyway, that's knackered.
It's
down in the tool, needs to be straightened out.
Okay.
So that's off. So you'll see a brick there by the...
In order to support the door?
In order to keep the door open, yeah.
Yeah, sure, okay. And the pine cones on strings, which are very much like the corks around an Aussie's hat, what are their purpose?
Purely decorative.
Purely decorative. Yeah.
They offer no structural benefit whatsoever.
Right.
I just wanted to liven it up, Rob, give a sort of alpine feel. We had enough. Basically, we got given from Clive next door a big bag of pine cones.
Right, yeah.
He said, quite rightfully so, that the girls should love them.
Yeah,
but... I mean, they've not made comment, but... I like them.
I like to think it seeps into the subconscious, doesn't it? They just go. Whenever I went up to the clubhouse, the Wendy house, it just had a little bit of a je ne sais quoi that
Crocodile
you know, Dundee. Growing up as a kid, I couldn't put my finger on, but now in hindsight, I realise it was that bag of pine cones that Clive brought round so diligently and thoughtfully.
Yeah. I mean, the girls often go in there to... They do a bit of work in the indoor kitchen there. We've got a little toy kitchen.
Mud soups, etc.
Yeah, mud soups.
Science
soup
experiments.
Some painting. But it's a dual-use building.
Yeah.
It's a kids' Wendy house and a serious weightlifting clubhouse.
So. Yeah.
It's been signed off as dual-use council.
Okay. So heavy machinery's Clive using there.
It's Luke next door.
What's he up to?
Fucking dug out a massive amount at the back.
Yeah.
Built a massive retaining wall. It's beautiful. I think they're paving. I think what you're listening to, there's a one of those angle grinders the size of a 12-inch vinyl.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Savage.
Yeah,
savage
yeah.
machine.
A big Stiller concrete cutter. Yeah. Beautiful.
There'll be a cloud of dust. There we go. That could cost us a few kilograms, that dust.
It could do, couldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, it's blowing in the other direction, isn't it? Which is the
might not carry that well in this wet air.
Exactly, and also we are, albeit 20 yards away from that, about 3,000 feet above it due to the angle of the hill. There we go.
Probably think this city is made out of a Charles Cotton.
Yeah,
we've been right.
Is it really repurposed?
Yeah.
Well, either way, what an addition to any clubhouse.
I could show you an extraordinary... I've probably still got the photograph of it. When I was in the market for buying cots for the kids, obviously I needed two of them. Although they both slept in one for a while, but at some point I needed a second one. So I was scouring Facebook Marketplace for, a pre-loved local one.
Yeah.
And I got into a text conversation with a lady who had one for sale, but she just couldn't. She couldn't understand that I wanted measurements.
Right.
And her replies to me asking was just so garbled and weird and without punctuation. You know when you're just reading, like, the ramblings of a...
Do you think she was dictating the text while she was maybe...
It would appear so.
Wrangling toddlers or breastfeeding
in
or something.
In a loud cafe.
Or driving.
Random words coming in. It was absolute... it was just infuriating. And so by the end, it was up to perfect cut as well. I think it was like, it looked like the I'd got a mattress for that one.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of size discrepancy with
Mattresses. Especially if you go down the IKEA self-building, mattresses are their own bloody laws themselves, aren't they?
I mean, we need standardisation at once.
Yeah. Let's call for that now. But I thought
I'd got a beautiful spring mattress already in stock, so I just needed to frame it. I wanted to double check it was the right size, and I just couldn't get this woman to understand the idea of measuring it.
Right.
And it had been, I got in the middle of this absolute word salad. I think she'd mentioned that it was had been dismantled. I was like, that's fine, just measure along the. And the exchange is more like eye-wateringly stupid. To the point where, at the end, I just go, yeah, it's all right, thanks. I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
And just had to walk away from the sale. So that's what you sat on, anyway.
That very same one?
No, it wouldn't have been that one. It would have been
a different one, right, you found someone who was happy to measure. Yeah, had some idea of units and measurements.
Got at least an F at GCSE English, I don't mean to judge, but, man, is it possible? She can't. She must have
been dictating, as you say, in a busy cafe.
Yeah.
Or maybe in an indoor soft play centre. The cacophony of which would wreak havoc with Steve Jobs' best brightest and best chatbots, exactly. Just that it did make me think,
A couple of augmentations occurred on this setting, Rob. You're probably thinking, we're quite high up for a cop.
We are quite high up for a cop,
You'd be right to think that. Extended the legs, just a bit of forward.
Because mother and father being quite tall.
But also just allows storage of chicken products underneath.
Of course.
You try and store 20 litres of wood chippings when it's
rampacked,
which is the only size to buy to get good value for
money. Yeah, good luck getting that under a futon.
Yeah, no chance.
Very fascinating, actually, when you said that the twins slept together. At first, because what I understand only in hindsight with having kids is apparently for the first 6 months, to all intents and purposes, as much as we understand, baby still thinks it's part of mum.
Yeah, right.
Which is why they encourage so much skin to skin wherever possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did mouse, possibly a rat, don't know, just saw something
strange. Really? Yeah, there. We've got a rat to work through the compost.
Yeah, I think it was an offspring of the rat.
Yeah.
So just interested. Do you think that the girls as twins, because obviously having been in the tummy together...
I thought they'd birthed each other.
Do you think they felt like... I wonder if they had a similar thing where they thought they were one and the same for that same
period. Stop there, Rob.
Yeah.
Rumbling sound. Did you hear that?
I think it was aircraft, wasn't it?
Was it? Well, it's getting foggy by the second.
It really is getting foggy, isn't it?
Wouldn't be a miss to hear a...
Could have been some fellow climbers falling off the ridge.
A bolt of lightning. Yeah.
But I wonder,
you mean that they could.
I wonder whether they thought they were the same thing in the same way.
Perhaps, yeah. Who knows?
So when they used to, as little babies, when they were in the same cot together, did they snuggle each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like they were in the womb.
Yeah, like
that
kittens.
Must have been an adorable.
Yeah, sight. It was remarkable. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and then then they got a top and tail in this cot, and this, of course, the removal side, so you put them up to your bed and stuff. And then, we've been through a variety of sleeping configurations before we've pretty much squarely landed on bunk.
Yeah. Top, but is there an argument of a top and bottom?
No. They have a method, it seems to work. Although, we've just spent a few days in London at my in-laws, where they had bunk beds there, they flipped it.
They flipped the configuration.
Yeah, so I think they have a sort of line somewhere around Loughborough. North of Loughborough?
Yeah.
Twin A-top.
A bit like when...
like the plug hole with it.
The equator.
Yeah, plug goes around the...
What happens to the water in the plug hole right on the equator?
I think it was kind of impossible to do it, isn't it?
But
I would have thought that it just drains down without...
Without spinning. Yeah.
Mad. Maybe that's how they know they're in the middle.
If anyone's listening on the equator, please let us know.
Giant spirit level, isn't it?
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? Astonishing scenes. Well, that's rest period one, Tom. That's 5.5 minutes. We should get back under that bar, shouldn't we?
Right, yeah, because I've got a couple of tales from, being a tourist in London.
Fantastic. And an exclusive piece of pant cage journalism from Tom.
Filed a file,
right from the country's capital.
Yeah.
Capital city. Londinium there. Yeah. We get on the other side of this. All to look forward to. And I've heard this and seen it. It's astonishing. The full video will be posted on the Patreon site. So if you go to patreon.com/Rob Rouse, you can join for literally buttons. You can. You know, well, they say on American podcasts, hey, just chuck me the price of a cup of coffee. Buy me a coffee on there. And
there's a whole site that's
yeah, yeah. That, buy me a coffee. Yes, we're not on there, but no. Go to patreon.com/Rob Rouse. Consider being a patron. You will unlock a lot of valuable and instructional content on there, hilarious content, including this brand new video that Tom has made, a piece of groundbreaking pancakes journalism, up there with, I would see, Jeremy Bowen or Elise Doucette. Tom, it's a hell of a power rack you built there.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's one of the favourite things I've ever built. That.
When you stand back and look at it, it really is quite something,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It sort of sits in the, because we're obviously at the top of a hill, but we're in a natural, you know, heading out in front of us, of course, is the other side of the valley.
Yeah.
You know, going off into the Peak District. But I don't know if you've ever seen a really wide view of Stonehenge.
Yeah, it's up there.
The way it sits.
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
I think this power rack really does set off the surrounds.
Do you get similar kind of levels of tourism? People coming to look at it?
I mean, occasionally the neighbour will bob his head over the fence, but yeah, he's a bit, he's pretty weird, to be fair.
But generally only at solstice.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty nervous when I was building it, because obviously, huge question marks. Mm. What the hell is that?
Is that going to be?
Yeah.
Is that the people who don't like you having the windfall apples?
Yeah. Yeah, they've had a terrible fallout with the neighbour.
Yeah.
They're all round pretty odd, you know, hedge bobbers. You know,
right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then
yeah.
They scarper the moment you see them.
Right, yeah.
Handy. They won't engage. Weird. Yeah. So I happily let the guy think that I was building a gun turret. Didn't correct him.
He filled in a lot of forms.
Yeah.
When he finally saw the toucan go on the top, realised he'd got it all wrong.
Good God.
Yeah, he was basically created trowel services for the local pigeon population.
Yeah. But of course, well, the pull-up bar, exactly.
It really is something to look at, isn't it? The way that you've painted it in Cooper and Old Black and the A-team font stenciled letters on there.
Handmade stencils by the wife.
They're handmade?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hand
cut, obviously.
Hand cut.
Remarkable. They
two
are
sizes, crazy. Of course. There's the numbers on the uprights and then the numbers on the concrete weights.
I've dropped the recorder there. Such was the excitement, Tom. That's what happened there. It's an astonishing piece of engineering and art.
Yeah, it's just a shame that the floor is absolutely substandard. Isn't it? He's gonna cave in at any second.
Well, I've got a similar issue with all the sort of the areas of flat roof on our house. I'm going to have to strip them right off in the summer.
Jesus Christ!
And just get them sorted out. But in the meantime, I believe while we get our breath, you've been down in the big city.
Been down in the big city with the twins.
Yeah,
had a cracking day out, has to be said. This Monday was. And enjoyed the aquarium.
Oh, yeah. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. Not cheap.
No.
Probably just the right side of 100 quid.
For how many of you?
Three of us.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I think it was like 75.
Yeah.
But then, you know, with assortments and stuff.
Yeah.
And the way these days they cynically route you through the gift shop.
Oh,
I thought
Christ.
When I was young, I'm sure it was optional.
Yeah.
I'm sure you went by the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
But now you weave through the gift shop like it's a ride itself.
Yeah,
like it's
absolutely. Well, it's like going through last time I was in Manchester Airport, you have to go past all of the Prada sunglasses, Armani shit, just to make you think, oh, these are important things in life.
I think that people who are buying stuff like that at airports, we could get a database of them because they've got their passports.
Yeah.
And then in the next general election, their vote counts half. That's all I'm saying. You know, I think we could have a much more progressive country if we
could
take people who buy sunglasses in airports less seriously. Because they're clearly, they haven't got the fucking gall to realise that wherever you're going, you can just buy a pair for €5.
Yeah, when you get there, and you're probably going to sit on them anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, they're spending $199 on some aviator. It's just so overpriced.
It's like, I was chatting to a lady recently, and she was saying that her grandson had been given a set of these wireless headphones, and they were £300. Shit, at which I literally was winded and fell over. And that the reason he got some was because the last pair, he lost one of them.
Yeah, those wireless ones, I mean, they're brilliant, but of course you...
What, an alarm bell? Yeah. Just a wireless thing. Mm. Why on earth would you have so much money in something that you're probably going to lose one of? It's insane. Yeah.
The only way I'd have that is if I chained them to an anvil.
Which makes them a lot less portable, doesn't it?
Undermine the...
Have a wire plugged in.
Have a wire plugged in, £10.
Like we say, we'll say it, every stand-up comedian, give me an SM58 with a wire,
XLR
straight to the desk. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You can put your Radio Shack wireless number back in the drawer.
You can stick that up your arse as far as I'm concerned. It'll get better reception up there. Terrible. So you were at the aquarium?
So I went to the aquarium, yeah. And I've got to be honest, Rob, superb day out. As I say, kids really liked it, so much to see.
Mm.
Different species, different types, beautiful. They presented well lit. But I really couldn't tear myself away from thinking, good God, these guys must get through a lot of silicon sealant.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You're talking tubes of it.
Yeah.
And what astonishes me, I mean, if I was, you know, Bostic or Sudol, one of the
yeah, one
players,
of the big hitters,
sponsor it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sponsor it.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, they must be using gallons of it.
Loads of the stuff, yeah.
And as you're walking around and you're seeing these wonderful displays, like hammerhead sharks coming down tunnels that you're in, you know, half the time I'm marvelling at the species of the underworld life forms, and the rest of my time's thinking, whatever's holding this up, I want this in my shower.
Absolutely, yeah, this is working.
Yeah.
There's no black mould on this.
There's no mould, there's no drips.
Yeah.
So, sponsor it. Let us know.
Who is it? It probably isn't EvoStick or Sudol, is it? It's probably something, it's got to be marine-based, isn't it? Because some of those tanks would be salt water, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Almost certainly.
Marine grade.
What, do you think it's not available then from...
I don't know whether it'd be available to us at Screwfix.
Right.
Yeah. Regardless of how confidently you walked up to the
trade
counter. Well,
you'd still want to sponsor it, though. It's an absolute opportunity to get your name.
Yeah.
It's a bit like in this country, you're not allowed to sponsor... you're not allowed to advertise baby milk.
Mm.
I know we've talked about this before, but you're not allowed to advertise it.
Yeah.
Because that just is at odds with the capitalist sort of medical model.
Right.
And I'm right behind the NHS on this and the government in that they see baby milk to be... Of course, you don't want the bullshit of too much choice competition. You don't want costs being driven down or anything like that. So they're all made to a very strict recipe, quite rightly so. And you're not allowed to advertise.
Really? Because it used to be... When did they stop banning it?
I'm sure
I've seen Cowangate follow-on milk advertised.
That's the point, Rob. You've seen Cowangate follow-on milk. So they made a product
that is kind
of pointless. Follow-on milk might have a little bit more calcium or a little bit more of what they want, but that's not to say that they absolutely...
Have you just blown the lid off another huge baby milk scandal?
So they made... Apparently, I heard that they made a product... That may or may not be necessary, but I mean, of course, we'll let breast milk and white. It's not absolutely vital. So they make a product which is outside the remit of the initial baby milk,
right?
Which allows them to advertise
themselves as a business.
So when you are with a newborn and you're in the shop for the first time, pondering over the choices of baby milk, you have in your mind the other night on Coronation Street, you saw an advert for Cowangate.
Yeah,
and they've just got it in your head.
That's clever,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, I would say to the silicon sealant manufacturers, do that. Make a product that we can buy.
Yeah.
And sponsor the London Aquarium.
Or just say to London Aquarium, can we have a little pop-up, very much like a pant cage that we're coming to your review soon. A little cage of Sudol silicon sealant in the gift shop.
Like you get the
very
AA
much,
in the service station.
That's right. And very much like when we were in the locker room earlier, which we didn't record, when you said that when you were down in Golders Green, you had to go down to Ryman's to get some parts for a soda stream.
Yeah, and that blew my mind.
Absolutely. Well, it would blow anyone's mind.
Ryman's stationers are actually official distributors for the soda stream line of products.
Incredible.
And Ryman's in Golders Green stocked canisters.
Yep.
The units themselves?
Not the units themselves.
Wow.
No, it was just accessories.
The official licensed distributor of SodaStream accessories.
Flavourings. So in the middle, you, as you walk down the aisle of Ryman's, you had Filofax inserts.
Yep.
Low-grade adhesives, you know, your Pritt sticks and equivalent.
Check.
Boss
sticks.
Printer paper, printer ink. Those treasury tags, which like two little brass sticks with a little bit of green
string in between.
A little bit of green
check.
String in between.
All things I'd expect and hope to find in Ryman's.
Wallop! A small display unit of SodaStream syrups.
Whoa! What a handbrake turn that is!
I picked up a 7-Up and a ginger ale.
Which is that it was 7-Up, again, it was going out of date.
7-Up was going out of date, so it was half price, yeah.
Incredible.
And the shop assistant did a due diligence. She really made me understand that this is on the turn. But my argument to that is that it's like 90% sugar. It's going nowhere.
Yeah. Not a conversation. You thought you'd have that day in Ryman's, or she thought she would either.
Speaking of which, we'll have a glass now.
But you can't stress... Do you have to pass on the due diligence that you can't stress enough this was on the turn? Do you have to tell me that?
I suppose so, but my argument was like, well, I'm going to absolutely ignore that.
Mm.
There's no way I'm throwing away sugar water.
Yeah.
Because it's gone out of date.
Yeah. And what's the purpose of us drinking sugar water now as opposed to just water? Do you think? Do you think
just for the taste experience?
Yeah. And the fact that it came from Ryman's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what we're dealing with here is homemade 7-Up. You
know, incredible.
Sounds like the real thing already, doesn't it?
It really does. Cloud of started to answer a business call there, came back in, and a cloud of smoke in here. It's like a dragon's cave.
Yeah. Well, that's homemade e-juice. Well, the homemade 7-Up I would describe as a little bit too much syrup.
And, right.
I'll be honest, I think I've overgassed it.
Oh, it's going to be very. Oh, it's going to be very burpy. It's very burpy and very sweet, isn't it? Oh. So rest period one on the press, Tom. So I think this would be a great point to slot in your PankAge report. Can you just give us a little backstory to PankAge UK and the report itself?
So PankAge UK, of course, started when we analysed the results of the last UK census and realised while it gives an excellent high resolution set of data regarding the age of population, the current employment status, sexuality, income bands,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's really good. But where it lacked was no one was keeping an eye on the TK Maxx PankAges,
and that really struck us as that was a howling hole in the data, wasn't it?
Yes. And it's very difficult, I think, to plan a society.
Yeah.
If you don't have a complete data set about that. I mean, you know, if everyone's wandering around with threadbare pants drops, society would unravel.
The week would literally go to the wall, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
so we've taken it upon ourselves to try and build up a picture of the retail landscape, well, the purchasing landscape of people purchasing their pants from the PankAges at branches of TK Maxx up and down the British Isles. We've had some incredible... We've got a great spread of data from all the way from the top of Scotland all the way down, I'd say, at least to the Midlands and London, haven't we?
I would go as far as to say, Rob, that I think we should publish some of our findings at perhaps Easter.
Yeah, like an interim report.
Yeah, an interim report, yeah.
Yeah. Well, take that to the House of Commons.
Just some recommendations.
Yeah. Recommend them to the House. And I commend this to the House.
What does that mean?
It's absolute bollocks, isn't it? But it wouldn't be if it was PankAge data.
I always like it when they say, the right honourable gentleman must be heard.
Yes.
I love that. I sometimes say it at gigs.
Yeah, in Lindsay Hoyle's...
Yeah, that's right.
The right honourable gentleman must be heard. We must maintain standards. It's great, when it? I do like John Burko. He's, order! Order, sir! Order!
Yeah, so full of disdain.
Yeah, order! No, order!
Well, so anyway, we'll We'll draft,
commend it to the house.
We'll draft a white paper.
Yeah, I think so. That's what it's called, yeah. And sitting atop it, the data points will be your findings at the Charing Cross branch of TK Maxx in London.
Charing Cross, yeah. It's as I go into, well, more details, of course.
Should we roll the tape? Report.
Yeah, please, roll the tape.
Pancake UK.
Hello, Rob. Today I'm in London and I've come to the historically significant Denmark Street, famous for being Britain's answer to Tin Pan Alley. And it was once a major hub for international guitar legends such as Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix and Jason Orange. Now, whilst its musical importance is still very evident, things have to move on. And today, proudly bookending this much-celebrated street is a subtle but well-proportioned branch of TK Maxx. Obviously, I'm hiding in plain sight as an undercover journalist, but I simply can't hide the fact I've got a keen instinct for where the cage will be. Just as we head there, I'll mention that this branch of TK Maxx services London's theatre land, so we're pretty much in spitting distance of over 30 live shows, each with, say, an average of 20 actors, and that's, well, that's big numbers. And the truth is, it is inevitable that on occasion, a small percentage of those performers might have taken a gamble on some sushi that had been left under a heat lamp for too long, or necked a dodgy Guinness in an after-hours members bar, or simply fallen victim to chronic stage fright. Either way, it should be recognised that for the actor, a well-fitted pant is the first line of defence against public humiliation or career suicide. Add to that, you've got the podium lads from the nearby gay clubs, who could get through several pairs of boxers a night, and you get the sense that the demand for pants around here could reach unprecedented heights. This is definitely the women's area. Yeah, definitely. Here we go. Menswear. Ooh, I'd probably get the next size down, mate, if I... And there it is. What a beauty. What a... Bang next to the fitting rooms as well. I've always thought trying pants on prior to purchase was frowned upon, but I guess that's what makes London a world-class city. The cage itself boasts a three-tier central unit in back-to-back configuration with symmetrical double-tier end modules. The vibe is good. Tucked away on the second floor with ample-sized aisles gives an almost meditative ambience, and the fact that pants are quite rightly positioned between socks and belts really shows off the skills of the branch manager. Brand-wise, Bamboo and Jeep have obviously been greasing the right palms as they take the prime real estate of the top tier. Slogging it out in the lower tiers, we've got Farrar, Sherman, Uckler, Replay, Hackie, and back to more Farrar. I suspect it's company policy to keep Farrar at high stock levels. With their reinforced twin-wall gusset, they're probably the pant of choice for the nervous actor or digestively challenged tourist. And if you needed more protection, a brand that in my mind is exclusive to this store, 8 layers. My God, nothing's going to get through that. Good as wearing a nappy. This bit's a shit show, though. Look at this. 60% of boxes torn open. But nestled amongst the carnage, the solitary three-pack of Jeff Banks. So there we go. This is a pant cage that knows its clientele and serves them with stoic dignity. Another thumbs up to the branch manager.
Pancake UK.
That truly is a masterful piece of journalism, Tom.
Kind, just doing my job.
Yeah, well, you really do fact share the truth there, because there's not a lot of guys and girls who could deliver on that level, and you're in a class of one when it comes to a pant cage report.
Appreciate it.
And I can corroborate all that evidence, having been in a West End show. Sorry, I'll pick my own name up. Clang. Sorry about that. In recent years, that.
Yeah, you know, have been a customer.
Having a pair, a retailer of high quality pants within sprinting distance between matinee and an evening show.
Absolute lifesaver.
Absolute lifesaver on more than one occasion. The only slight piece in your data I think needs to be possibly a little bit further rigorous testing is the podium dancers at the local gay clubs. I imagine maybe they could have a deal with Prowler and the other shops around.
Is
there
that
in
more
Soho.
Specialist? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, more, yeah. Specialist pant, maybe a rubberized pant.
Yes.
Or a pant with potentially pockets
different kind of openings.
Patent leather.
Yeah, or indeed attachment fixtures.
Right, yeah. Which, yeah, it's pretty much outside the remit of the TK.
Yeah. More of a really, really technical, erotic pant.
Yes.
As opposed to the everyday wear and daily wear, colour fast at 40 degrees, you'd be getting from your TK Maxx.
Point taken.
I mean, love to get some data from the guys any of the Podium and Dancers are listening.
Well, like I indicated.
And I hope that guy found a jacket that was the right size for him as well.
Yes, it was a bit long in the arm, wasn't it?
Long in the arm and the body.
Yeah, the whole thing.
But I think he was just, we've all been there in TK Maxx. In fact, I had a wedding suit, which, an Oswald Boateng wedding suit that never fitted me once. But it was just, I remember getting it in Birmingham, which is where I really found the joy of the TK Maxx, the one opposite the Bullring Shopping Centre, New Street. Yeah. I remember once I was in there, and the entire group of dancers, including Ashley Banjo himself, the diversity dancers were all in there trying to get a pair of trainers the same. Obviously, like for a costume, you know.
That's madness.
Yeah, but actually, exactly. I think. Well, they weren't
just
in there for
a lot
long.
Of everything. Though.
Yeah, the lads weren't in there for long. They realised. Yeah, that actually, do you know what? They've not got.
You need to go to shoe.
Yeah, we need at least six pairs in a size 10 here.
Yeah.
This lad needs a 13, and we need 4 sevens.
Yeah,
and they're not really about. But I imagine they might well have been on a fact finding mission as well.
Because the thing about TK Maxx is you cannot do that. Have you got this in a 9?
Yeah.
We literally, you are in the warehouse.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is it.
Banjo et al. Were basically on a fact finding mission going, like, right, those are on at $39.99 in there. We go into Shoe and say, look, we want 15 pairs, but you've got to do them for $39.99.
Yeah, minimum.
Otherwise, we're hot footing it straight back to TK Maxx with a backflip in our step as well. So, have we got a deal?
Yeah.
You know, because. I think you've got to do that if you're buying shoes for 15 men. Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, that's a slight sidebar.
Yeah.
But how did I get onto it?
Difficult to say. I mean, he suggested that the data regarding the podium dancers might not be as simple as I've made it out.
It was the jacket. Anyway, long story short, I bought an oversized suit.
Oh yes.
Similar to what we saw that young man trying on there in TK Maxx, because sometimes you've got it on and going, I can't believe who cut the cloth, and I just can't believe the price.
Right.
So maybe I'll grow into it.
Yeah,
or maybe I can buy it and get it taken in.
Yeah, it's almost like it's so crazy that they're able to do this at that price. It's less crazy that I'm going to grow 4 inches and put on 9 stone.
Absolutely.
If they can do that for this price, then I might just do that.
Yeah. Those Venn diagrams are clearly going to overlap.
Because, interesting, that guy that appeared in the film, he was leaving the fitting rooms.
Mm.
And I mean, I had good mind to go back and give him a 180 degree turn. Like, mate, you need to be going absolutely back to the
physical. Well, he could have been going back to a loved one who was maybe in another part of the store nearby, plates or crockery soft furnishings. I was going to go, love, do you reckon? I mean, look, it's only $39.99.
Am I going to grow 4 inches and put on 6 stone?
Or do you reckon I can get this taken in on the high road?
They would have enough left over to make a tent. But as I mentioned in there, I do salute the branch manager, and I think we need to start championing these people, you know. And I don't know. Have you ever sent a Freedom of Information request, Rob?
Not to TK Maxx.
To anyone?
Not lately, have you?
Never in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had a template or what you actually...
No. Perhaps you should start doing that.
Yeah. So I'd like to know, you know, retail managers, get to know them. Just a personal thing. You know, it's nice to say hello. And, I don't sound bold, but dare I say some regional guys.
Yeah. Get in with the regional guys. The head office guys are more likely to listen, aren't they?
The rest will
You've
follow.
Got their
the
ear.
The rest will follow, yeah.
Yeah. I was playing squash with Ken... who heads up East Midlands. I was toweling off with Vince, who I believe is North Humberside. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Either way, got his really big balls. And he said...
Where's Pringles?
In a large, with a reinforced gusset. I love the bit where you talked about the eight ply.
Never seen that before.
Never seen that before. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean about the retail manager. Yeah. He's got his finger on the pulse there.
That's vision, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's vision.
Yeah. That is anticipation, awareness.
Yeah.
Years in the retail game, I suspect.
Yeah.
That's why he's...
There could be middle-aged men in a West End production having to do a dance routine that physically they can't really cope with anymore. May well have exacerbated the arthritis in the feet, for which they've now had two operations. I don't know, we're just spitballing here. But maybe after too many visits to Wasabi and went for a hot Tom Yum soup, might well be in urgent need of a new pair of 8-ply pants.
Yeah. And the 8-ply, of course, would just give you a bit more breathing room, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine a couple of hours.
Yeah, there could be a breathable layer in there. Mm. There could be a wicking layer in there. There could be an absorbent pad.
There could be a damp proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably one of those.
A layer of charcoal.
Yeah. There'd be a DPM, one of them.
just for the uninitiated, the reason I found that is so funny is DPM means damp proof membrane.
We've got 8 layers to go at.
You might as well throw a DPM in. So on the way here, Tom, I had Radio 2 on. Just before I get into that, the speed cameras are coming past down the school on the little dual carriageway bit. It's 30. I was doing a very measured 30, 29 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
The speed camera registered me doing 127, so it might need a recalibration.
Well, it came up on the board?
About 127. I think there's a fault with the LCD display.
What sort of face was that? Because it's happy when you...
Yeah, it wasn't even a face. It just looked like numbers. I didn't even...
We've got to get an image of Hitler coming up or something.
It's crazy. But I was doing 29.
Because it does show a smiley face and then a smiley face with a flat mouth.
Yeah.
And then a sad face.
Yeah, but mine registered somewhere around the 120 mark.
Wow.
Weird. Anyway, but I was listening to Radio 2 and Vernon Kay... It was talking to Neil Finn, who's going to be at Crowded House when doing the Radio 2 piano room, and Vernon was very excited about that, and he spoke to Neil Finn over in New Zealand, and he was saying, Vernon's got family out there, so he's talking about that, and then saying, obviously, the weather's, it's summer out there, isn't it? You're having a nice summer, and Neil Finn went, oh, yeah, it's lovely having a beautiful summer, really nice, because I don't know if you know, but last summer was shit, and it was just the guy from Crowded House. On Radio 2 going, yeah, last time it was shit. And he went, sorry, no, you can't say that on, it's illegal over here. And Vernon went, no, well, you know, sorry, apologies for the swearing there. Anyway, don't worry about it, we'll move on. And apparently he was saying that Vernon was saying, because I've seen the weather in New Zealand and they just say how it is. They'll use all sort of manner of expletives.
On the
weather forecast, yeah. Really? And Neil Finn went, yeah, that's exactly right. Yep, they'll say if it's rubbish weather, it is really rubbish weather in certain terms.
Right. They won't say changeable.
Yeah, they'll go, it's fucking shit out there today. It's shit house. How's the weather looking, Barry? It's going to be shit house all week.
They're refreshing New Zealanders.
Incredible, yeah. Fair go. Absolutely fucking shit house, mate.
Back to you.
It'd be fair to say, as you attempt the deadlift here, Tom, as we wrap up this episode, the weather now has really turned to shit house, hasn't it? Really has.
So do you reckon, I mean, the chickens won't catch a rabbit, right?
I don't know. Who knows? So there we go, Tom. Another great outdoor lift as we make our way. You can't take your eye off the ball. We've now got to make our way back down the North Face, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which in many ways is one of the most treacherous. If I was to accidentally stand on this destroyed door...
There's a lot of storm damage, of course. The whole property is littered with children's things that just get blown around the place.
That fishing net, I mean, we're way away from... We're, what, 2 hours inland from any coastal area?
I got caught up in on the last storm.
Be so careful. You've really got to mind your footing. Yeah. As the... well, your former regular Amazon driver there, frozen solid into the permafrost as we make our way back down there. There's the Morrison's delivery driver, again frozen into that crevasse there. Of course, Morrison's been working for Amazon, essentially. There we go. Step over.
Just have to get over the Cooba bog at the bottom. Before you get down to base camp.
Incredible scenes. Yeah, the solidity of the outdoor kitchen here at base camp.
Yeah.
With the booby trap back door.
Outdoor kitchen's holding up beautifully there, isn't it?
It really is holding up beautifully, yeah, yeah. Really well, really well.
A bit of good weather, I'll be back under that.
Unbelievable scenes. Sweet. So, are you going for your nap now?
Nap now, Rob.
Great, you're not gigging tonight, we're just having a nap anyway.
Yeah, I'm having a nap anyway.
Why not? Yeah. Well, you've got to top up your sleep, very important. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your astonishing Pancage report.
My pleasure.
And I'll catch you in the next few days for maybe an indoor lift next time, or possibly an outdoor.
Please,
if
let's
get the
move
weather.
This indoors.
But I feel all the better for having got cold and wet. Right. Love to you and the girls. See you soon, my brother.
See you soon.
Lots of love. Take care. Thank you so much.
Safe driving.
Take it easy. I've got to say, the front is looking spectacular with the... not pagoda.
Pergola.
Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. Beautiful. Just needs a bit of filler. Cooper Old Black Paint.
Only take a really trained eye to see that.
Would add pounds to the value of the house.
I tell you. Will do, yeah. Yeah. Certainly.
The wife's already got a keen on growing roses up here.
Would you like to keep it a raw wooden structure for a while, just so people could admire the engineering?
I mean, the issue with growing plants, I'm not anti it, but you have to address maintenance.
Yeah.
I mean, Cooper Hall's guaranteed for 5 years.
Yeah.
But after 6, it's going to shit. Yeah, uncoiling these roses, eh?
Yeah. Once they're up there, permanently up there, aren't they?
Like trying to plait barbed wire.
It's brittle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you could maybe employ a bit around the back of here as well, couldn't you, in your booby trap element?
Yeah, or I was going to dig an acid bath as a moat.
I won't put any of that past you, Tom. Right, I'll see you soon.
See you.
It's been loads of love, mate. See you in a bit.
One final plug. Come and see me playing Late Night Dirty Scrabble at the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 10th and 17th. Of February. Tickets available on the festival website. And come to any of the Comedy Village shows. Just go to www.comedyvillage.com. Bye for now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.